We're going to be in John chapter 3 today. Amen. John chapter number 3. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God this morning. The Bible said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. You receive not our witness. And if I have told you of earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here today. And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today from the Word of God. Thank you for the beautiful choir singing, the beautiful ladies singing, Lord, this morning. Lord, I thank you for the truth that greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. Lord Jesus, they didn't take your life from you. You freely gave it. And then, Lord, because you gave your life for us, when we put our trust in you, you give your life to us. And it's eternal. And I thank you for that. Help us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I don't know. Sometimes, have you ever just been reading or just been studying and you see something that just really kind of makes you feel foolish because you hadn't seen it before? In all these years of reading the Bible and preaching out of this text, I didn't realize, I kind of cut off the situation with Nicodemus about verse number 8. But you know, really, if you look at it, he said, Art thou master of Israel? Don't you know these things? Brother Jason, he's saying all this, for God so loved the world. He's saying that to Nicodemus. He's saying, son, God loves you. You've got religion up over your head, but you don't have a relationship. He's telling Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, you're condemned already. This had to be a shock to the system, amen. And I want to share with you this morning about the new birth. I'm going to call the message Born from Above. What does it take? What does it take? That's what born again means. It means to be born from above. I believe sometimes we're guilty of thinking that everybody knows what that's about. That everybody, you know, been in church knows what that's about. But today I want to take my time and I want to go through what does it take to be born from above? What does it take? There's some things that just going to give you four this morning, and if you leave any of them out, it's not going to happen. Amen? And I'll show you this morning in the Word of God. Nicodemus, his name means superior. Did you know that a lot of people will never be born again because they think they're superior? They're too good for that. Amen. I've had people say things like this: you Christians, you use Jesus as a crutch. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. He's more than a crutch. I lean on him every day. I can't even breathe without him. I can do nothing without him. Amen. And I was thinking the other day about Nicodemus. He's a Jew. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He's one of only 71 people in all of Israel. That's his status. His position is so elevated. He was among the most religious of the religious. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. If you'll study your Bible, it wasn't the paupers that was giving Jesus a hard time. It wasn't the poor. It wasn't the little girls that didn't have anything like they sang about a while ago. They loved Jesus. It wasn't the diseased. It was the religious people. Amen. They despised him. They were losing a grip, amen, that they thought they deserved to have. And they despised our Lord. He was among the most moral of the moral. And I just want to say this morning. If you think you're good enough to go to heaven, you're mistaken. You're badly mistaken. Jesus told a man that was a very good man, you must be born again. An old preacher had someone say to him one time, said, how come you're always preaching you must be born again? The old preacher in that wisdom looked back at him and said, sir, because you must be born again. Amen. Amen. Oh, beloved, listen. You say, Pastor, what does it take? I'm going to give you some things here that I believe will help us to understand. I believe before a person will ever be born again, they need to see their own sinfulness. We don't come to Jesus, amen. I love the songwriter that said, or the line in the song that said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Amen. We didn't have anything to give him, but he had everything to give us. When our sinfulness is magnified and God's holiness is magnified, we will understand then that we're not good enough. And by the way, if you could be good enough to go to heaven, then the cross is the biggest mistake this world has ever seen. Why did Jesus have to die if you and I could make it to heaven on our own? I'll give you four things this morning quickly as I possibly can. Before I even start, I want you to back up from chapter 3 into chapter number 2, and I want to look at the last verse. The Bible said, and needed not, this is speak. Well, let me read verse 24 and 25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I want to begin the message today by saying this. He knows what's in you. Amen. You can fool your wife. You can fool your pastor. Amen. You can fool your parents. But there's a God in heaven that knows what's in every one of us this morning. Amen. I'm reminded years ago, my dad said something to me, And I appreciate what he said. He said, son, I love you, but I'm not trading with you or anybody else. He said, I know what I have in my heart. Amen. And I know what he was talking about. It's more, I know who I have. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. What does it take to be born from above? Number one, it takes a sinner. It takes a sinner. It takes a sinner. Can I say this to you? I was lost for 27 years before I got saved. I was lost for 27 years. There was a time as a child when I was not saved, but I was safe. Amen. We get that from David's baby. David said, I cannot bring him back, but I can go be with him. So we know where the babies are. Amen. By the way, God's filling up heaven. Amen. With little ones. Amen. What a blessing. Not the way it's being done, but to know that we'll meet the little ones one day after a while. Amen. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. In order for there to be a birth from above, one of the things it takes, first and foremost, is a sinner. I was lost for 27 years. For most of those years, I didn't realize it. I can remember being in Shady Valley, Tennessee. Some of you all knew Brother Eddie Crusenberry. He brought his choir and sang in revival years ago here. He's now in heaven with his father. Brother Bud Crusenberry was one of those old-time preachers. When he got to preaching, he had cotton in both sides of his mouth. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm telling you, buddy, he preached. He'd rear back and preach. And I went to a meeting in Shady Valley, Tennessee years ago. And that man had the audacity to get up and take this Bible, Brother Jason, and preach on religious wrecks on the highway to hell. Oh, you say, Pastor, why didn't you get saved that night? I'll tell you why. My pride. I'd already joined up with the church. I'd already been baptized. I said I was saved. I thought saved was just believing the facts. And my pride was so big. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, it takes that swallowing of that pride. The Bible said he would draw nigh to him that is of a broken and a contrite spirit. Amen. And I'm going to tell you this, if you can ever get sinfulness in the presence of holiness, honey, it'll break you down. Say amen. You're not going to run into his presence bragging on what you've done. Amen. But you're going to say, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God, I need mercy. Amen. It takes a sinner. The Bible said we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Take every what we call good thing. He's telling Nicodemus every moral thing, every religious thing. Put it all in a pile, and it's just like a big old pile of filthy rags. Amen. Oh, beloved, it amounts to nothing. The Word of God said if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And listen to me, the truth is not in us. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, it takes a sinner. Secondly, in order for the new birth to take place, it takes the Spirit. I'm telling you, I believe this is where a lot of times that we miss it. Amen. Years and years ago, I started asking people when I deal with them, is the Lord dealing with you about this? Do you believe God is speaking to your heart? Is he dealing with you about this? You say, Pastor, why would you do something like that? Because it's so serious. That if that individual lies to me and they say, well, no, he's not dealing with me, and he is, then it's on them. And if he says he is dealing with me and he's not, I'm telling you, beloved, this is a sobering matter. There is no new birth apart from the Spirit of God meeting with a sinner. Amen. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Listen to what Romans said in 7:13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Paul said, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, that which was good, that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. I'm going to tell you, when the Holy Spirit of God shows up, amen, and meets with that sinner, No longer is that sinner saying, I told a little lie or I stole a little something. Amen. But the Holy Ghost of God throws the book at them. He says, listen, you're not just guilty in one point of the law. You're guilty of the whole law. And you're so guilty that you're on your way to hell. Amen. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin. Romans 3:19 said, for we know that the thing, whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. No one ever got saved until they realized, beloved, that they were guilty before God. And no one ever realized they were guilty before God apart from the precious Holy Ghost of the living God. He's the one, beloved, that comes by and lets us know our lost condition. The Word of God said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. No longer when the Spirit of God shows up in our life, no longer am I comparing myself to Brother Vince and saying, well, I'm just as good as old Brother Vince, or I'm just as good as old Brother Brian, I'm just as good as old Brother Rick, I'm just as good as old Brother Chuck. Listen, when the Spirit of God comes along, you're not comparing yourself to anybody else. You understand that you're in the presence of holiness and that you've sinned and come short of the glory of God. It takes a sinner. If we're going to experience the new birth, you have to admit that you're a sinner. And it takes the Spirit. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin. Then the Holy Spirit reproves us of sin. We live in a generation, beloved, listen to me, you can get mad at me if you want to, where parents won't even correct their children. We don't want to be reproved. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. We need to be reproved. We need God, amen, to help us. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit of God convicts us. The Holy Spirit of God reproves us. But then I'm glad he don't stop there. The Holy Spirit of God draws us. Listen to me. I'm glad, thank the Lord, amen, that the Spirit of God didn't just pronounce me guilty, amen, and then leave me there. He said, come. I want to show you someone. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, the Holy Spirit, listen what the Bible said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. How many believes the Spirit of God is powerful? Amen. I don't believe in irresistible grace. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, beloved, listen, if you get good and guilty and before God, and then God begins to draw you, amen, and let you understand that you have a need. Beloved, that's a good time to get in, a good time to get saved. The Holy Spirit of God draws us to Christ. And then the Holy Spirit of God helps us to overcome the obstacles. I don't believe anyone's ever been saved without those obstacles showing up. Amen. The devil's just that way. Say amen. He's going to fight against that all the way. Amen. The first obstacle is pride. The Word of God said that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then there's unbelief. I thank God that that scripture, the centurion said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I'll tell you what, the night I got saved, I didn't really know what to expect. All I knew was I was lost, and I was convicted of my sin. And all I knew was I didn't want to go to hell, amen. That was enough that night, amen. I knew he loved me. I knew he died for me. I knew he rose again. I knew the facts, but I didn't know the Savior, amen. And when I came to him, he forgave me of my sin. The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome not only pride and unbelief, but he helps us to overcome others. There's a lot of people will never be saved because they're so worried about what this one will say or what that one will say. I'm going to tell you right now, Listen to me, it was a happy day. I'm telling you, the devil said they'll laugh at you. He said they'll throw you out of here. I found out something God had already said. There wasn't nobody laughing. They wasn't trying to throw me out. The devil's a liar, amen. He'll lie to you. Then when you end up in hell, he'll laugh at you. You must be born again. It takes a sinner and it takes the Spirit of God. Amen. And then there's procrastination. That's one of the obstacles that's got to be overcome. Amen. The Bible said now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Every one of us knows that when we get in our vehicle after church and pull out on Packinghouse Road, there is no guarantee that we'll get to our destination. Because we understand, beloved, listen, that life is short. And we understand that things happen suddenly. Amen. The Bible said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You say, Pastor, does it take a sinner? Yeah, a person's got to realize they've sinned. And they've got to realize they're guilty. And then they've got to realize, and it takes the Holy Spirit to convict them and help them to understand, beloved, listen, the price of sin. The Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It takes him to help us, to draw us to Christ and help us to overcome the obstacles. Then it takes this. Not only to be born from above does it take a sinner. It takes the Spirit, but it takes the Scripture. The Word of God said this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, the Bible said, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Romans chapter 10 said, faith cometh by hearing. Hebrews chapter 6 said, without faith it's impossible to please God. For we must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Ephesians chapter 2 said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No wonder the Apostle Paul told Timothy, preach the word, preach the word. I know that on any given Sunday, there's probably a dozen or two dozen verses read from this pulpit. I don't apologize for that. What I think doesn't matter. What I say really doesn't matter. But I tell you, the Word of God, beloved, is forever settled in heaven. And the Word of God will get the job done. The Bible said that He might sanctify, talking of the church, and cleanse it by the washing of water by the Word. It takes, beloved, a sinner. It takes the Spirit. And it takes the Scripture. Beloved, listen. There's one more thing it takes. It takes a Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brother Jason mentioned some of the isms this morning. I'm going to tell you something right now. The isms will leave you short of heaven, but Jesus will save your soul if you put your trust in Him. Beloved, the Bible said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a blessing this morning to know, beloved, that the Savior is waiting for the sinner with open arms. How are they going to call on Him in whom they've not believed? How are they going to believe in Him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I want to say something this morning. A lot of people read that text right there, and I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter number 8. A lot of people read that text right there, and they get out of that text that it's the preacher's job. You know what I mean? To preach the word. And it is his job to preach the word. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Every single Christian in this room has a responsibility to be a witness for Christ. And I'm going to show you something. God gave me an illustration, beloved. Listen, the Bible said here, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Let me ask you something. How many's ever seen a gospel tract out there somewhere in the public and picked it up and read it? Did you know that may not have been a preacher, the way we say a preacher, that laid that gospel tract down there? Let me give you something. Turn to Acts chapter 8 real quickly. In Acts chapter number 8, and we'll share a little bit about this man named Philip. The Bible said in verse number 26 of Acts chapter 8, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. By the way, Philip was a deacon. Did you hear me? He was a deacon. Amen. Ain't that how he started out serving tables? Ain't that right? And here he is, beloved, listen, in tune with God. The Spirit of God is leading him. Amen. And the word of God said, arise and go toward the south. The way goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. Here's another successful man. Nicodemus is a successful man, high on the totem pole. This eunuch is high on the totem pole. Now you say, how are you going to get born again? You got to get down off the totem pole. Amen. You got to realize, beloved, that he saves the lowly. He saves the sinner. Amen. Watch this now. Listen, why did Nicodemus come to Jesus by night? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because there was something missing in his life. Religion couldn't fill it. Prestige and position couldn't fill it. Amen. God made every one of us with a hole in us that only Jesus can fill. Amen. Watch this now. The Bible said here, had the charge of her treasure, come to Jerusalem for to worship. Everybody's going to worship something or someone. Was returning and sitting in the chariot, and he read Esaias the prophet. That's Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet. Philip knew his Bible. When you know, Brother Jason, you talked the other day about the music. You know, that's familiar. We know that music, amen. That music causes our heart. Oh, Philip said, I know that. I know what he's reading. Amen. He's over an old book of Isaiah. He's reading after the prophet Isaiah. The Bible said here, he read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some preacher guide me? Is that what he said? That ain't what he said. He said, how can I except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. This is Isaiah 53. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee. This is how we would say, please tell me. I pray thee. Of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself? Is Isaiah talking about Isaiah? Or is he talking about some other man? And the Bible said that Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Listen to me. You can say whatever you want, but I don't believe Philip took his Bible and stood up in that chair and said, now listen, praise God. I want to tell you today how to be... No, I don't believe it happened like that. I believe old Philip looked over and said, let me tell you about this man, Jesus. Amen. He's the one that saved my soul. Hey, Philip had a testimony. And if you've been born again, you've got a testimony. Somebody needs to hear. that testimony. Watch this. He began at the same scripture and he preached unto him Jesus. And the Bible said, you say, Pastor, what do you mean, Jesus? I said, it's absolutely necessary. You've got to have a sinner. The Spirit of God's got to be there and present. You've got to have the Scripture, and you've got to have a Savior. Amen. And that Savior's name, the Bible said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm glad God didn't tell me to pick door number one, door number two, or door number three. Jesus stood up and said, I'm the door. Son, if you're going to heaven, you're going to have to come through the door. There is no other way. There is no other way. Watch this. And as they went on their way, they came to certain water. And that eunuch said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you'll give to the church. Philip said, if you'll just be a good boy the rest of your life. Ain't what he said. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart. I'm going to tell you something right now. Faith is a gift of God. Amen. We ought to be shouting this morning because he gave us, amen, faith to believe the word of God when we heard it. He didn't just convict us of sin, but he convinced us that Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Bible said, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they went down into the water. That sounds like more than a cup of water, don't it? Amen. I read about a Baptist preacher that was in a Methodist church years ago, and they said all them men lined up on the front bench, every time he got a drink, they cringed. And he found out after the service that he had drunk the baptistry dry. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, they both went down into the water. You don't get in a cup. You don't get two men in a cup. Say amen, or a goblet. Amen. They went down in the water, buried with him in baptism. That's what the Scripture teaches. Raised to walk in the newness of life. The Bible said they went on their way rejoicing. Beloved, listen. I got to thinking about something, and this is personal. Sister Gwen and Sister Helen are here today. Either one of you all a preacher? Not in that sense. Does that mean Aubrey's not saved? It sure don't, does it, Sister Helen? My granddaughter came out of the Sunday school room over here and turned around and went back to her teachers, Sister Gwen and Sister Helen, and said, I need to be saved. You all would be pleased to know that they've joined the church and that they're faithful to church, that they're trying to work around the job that'll let them even be there on Wednesday night, and that they're going to raise their baby in the house of God. What I'm trying to tell you is, beloved, listen, it's not just the preacher that's supposed to be preaching. Every one of us, our lives ought to be telling a story, and our lips ought to be telling a story, and our literature ought to be telling a story. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. You say, Pastor, it takes a Savior. It takes a Scripture. It takes a Spirit. You leave any of those things out, beloved, and you're not going to be born from above. It takes a sinner. Jesus, he said, now when he was at Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. We're getting ready to give the invitation. I just want you to know God knows you. He knows exactly where, he knows where your mind has been while I've been preaching this morning. He knows the very thoughts and the very intents of our heart. Nicodemus was a very religious man. The Pharisees, they would sew the Scripture up. Of course, at that time, they only had the old Bible, the Old Testament. They would sew it up in their garments. They had a great respect for the Word of God. And they knew, Brother Vince, the Word of God. But they didn't know the God of the Word. It brings me back in my mind. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me of this. But you know, Jesus was telling Nicodemus something he never heard before. You must be born again. I believe if we had never heard it before, our response might have been just like Nicodemus. What do you mean? I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? Yes, he told him something he never heard before, But he also told him something in that text that he was very familiar with. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Ain't that good? God met him where he was at. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Nicodemus knew that. He knew those serpents in the wilderness bit the children of Israel. And beloved, that Moses wasn't told it was judgment. Moses was instructed by God to put a brazen serpent on a pole and lift it up in the middle of the camp. And the people were told, if you'll look, you'll live. And what Jesus is telling Nicodemus, I'm fixing to be lifted up on a pole. And if you'll look, you'll live. Amen. Thank God this morning. Thank God. The Bible said here, search the Scriptures. That's what Jesus is telling this religious crowd. Search the Scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. And Jesus said, but these are they that testify of me. You think you're going to have eternal life because you've got the Word of God sewed up in your garments, because you're religious, because of your position. But he said, you need to understand, eternal life comes through the eternal Son of the living God. Amen. Jesus, he said, here in them you think you have eternal life. In John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen to what Martin Luther said. He said, the life of Christianity consists of possessive pronouns. He said, it's one thing to say that Christ is a Savior. It's another thing to say, He's my Savior and my Lord. He said the devil can say the first. The Bible said the devils believe and tremble. Let me say this. They know who he is, but they don't know him. There's a difference. I know who the president is. I know last night they tried to take his life again, but I don't know him. I've never eaten a meal with him. I've never played golf with him. I'd hate to do that. I'd probably beat him anyway. Amen. I don't know him. It's one thing to know who Jesus is. It's another thing to know him. One thing to know what he's done. It's another thing to know him. And to know him, we've got to know we're a sinner. The Spirit of God must convict us and draw us. Help us to overcome those obstacles, those things that are holding us back. And then the Scripture points us to the Lamb of God, who is the Savior of the world. I want you to listen to what I'm about to read, and I'm closing with this. This was probably written in the 90s. I don't know for sure, but most of these illustrations were written around that time. According to a recent poll of American young adult men, now listen to this. I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to let it get a hold of you. According to a recent poll of young adult men in America, 48% believe that most of the problems in the world today are a result of man himself. Only 41% indicated agreement that Jesus has provided the way to know God personally. Only 29%, listen to this, only 29% could correctly state how one becomes a Christian. Only 29%. Now this is what blew me away and I underlined it. But 67% were interested in knowing more about Christianity. You know what that means? We're going to meet somebody this week that's interested. We're going to meet somebody this week that thinks because they go to church every Sunday that they're going to heaven when they die. I like what Brother Keith said when he was here. We ought to just ask people, give me a testimony. You'd learn a lot, amen, by just hearing people's testimony. If it's me, I, that's bad news. But if it's him, Jesus, amen, our blessed Redeemer, amen. He knows what's in man. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you realized you were a sinner? If you didn't do that on your own, the Holy Spirit had to help you do that. He had to draw you. Have you ever, beloved, believed? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing. Have you ever believed the Word of God? If you believe this book, let me say, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. Both of them are eternal. And regardless of what some religions teach, there's no way to change directions after you leave this world. Ain't no way, nobody gonna pray you out of a place, amen. That ain't gonna happen, amen. Here and now is where mankind must be born again. What does it take? What does it take? You know what I'm glad? I'm glad that my Lord provided everything it takes, amen, to be born from above. He told Nicodemus, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. You're condemned already, but that the world through me might be saved. That's why Jesus came. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us in our sin. Lord, I can remember well the night you came by my way. And Lord, I believe there are people here today that have never been born from above. God, it's my prayer today that you speak to their heart. Lord, you said you chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Lord, I know that what we believe in the eyes of the world is foolishness to them. But Lord, I know I have a peace in my heart, Lord, that the world could not give. No position, no power could give me that peace. It took the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today, Lord, for those that don't yet know you, that today might be the day, Lord, they'd open their heart, realize, Lord, that you're right and they're wrong. I'm reminded, Lord, of what Brother Mitchell said. We must take sides with God against ourselves. Lord, you're the Savior. We're the sinner. Help us today. I pray you'd help the child of God today, Lord. There may be somebody struggling today in their faith. They know they've been saved. Lord, they're not being faithful. They're not being faithful to their Bible, not being faithful to pray. I pray, God, today that you'll just speak to their heart. Encourage them, Lord. Lord, I know that you love us. I pray you'd have your way in this invitation. We're going to stand together this morning. If you need to be saved, come.